You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello and welcome back to the Early Night Show Virtual Edition. My name is Joshua Turchin, and thanks so much for being with us today. I'm thrilled to reunite with the Forbidden Broadway creator, writer, and director, Gerard Alessandrini, and actor, designer, and writer, Glenn Bassett, to the show today to support the amazing York Theater, so please stick around. Welcome to the Early Night Show. I know that I've spent many episodes commiserating with everyone over the woes of 2020, but aside from the challenges I've had, one of the most amazing highlights was being a cast member in the latest edition of Forbidden Broadway. Forbidden Broadway started around 39 years ago and was one of my first musical comedy influences. I used to watch different Broadway spoofs on YouTube. A few years ago, I was cast in a reading of a new musical parody that Forbidden Broadway creator Gerard Alessandrini wrote called Blah Blah Land, which premiered at Lincoln Center, and I played Perry Mason IV. The thing with Forbidden Broadway is that it's truly the industry insider show. So many Broadway stars and legends come to see the shows when they're like in town or on their day off, like Carol Channing. Now, Miss Channing was a huge Forbidden Broadway fan, and so after she passed away in 2019, Gerard wrote a special edition called Forbidden Broadway Salutes Carol Channing, which premiered at 54 Below. I was really grateful to be part of that cast to play young Gerard, along with some amazing Forbidden Broadway legends like Christine Petty, Fred Barden, and Jerry McIntyre. Then, about a year later, my dream really came true when Gerard asked me to play a part of Forbidden Broadway The Next Generation. In their 38-year history, they never had a child in it, so it was really such an honor for me.
Put this on Broadway and what do you get?
A Hogwarts explosion of cash.
Hey, who are you?
I'm Harry Potter Senior.
Who are you?
I'm your cursed child.
Join me. I am Harry Potter.
I'm his son and not his daughter.
We are both starring in this watershed play.
Dilly Hay.
Moulin Rouge.
The fancy frantic hits with Moulin Rouge.
The new pedantic hits.
And no, we're not the new cause of foul, but we're more like Follies without a soul.
Chandeliers are my thing.
Family.
Hey, outsiders go away. We're only saying you'll have to call Oklahoma, Oklahoma today.
We're so angry. 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 We're so. Our ballet will give you a chill.
I missed the show so much, and of course, the incredible cast and creative team. One of my favorite parodies in the show was playing a young Evan Hansen, playing off of how they kept casting the show younger and younger. This is Forbidden Broadway's version of Dear Evan Hansen, Dear Evan Has Been.
I need to slam on the brake. I oversing this constantly. And when I make a mistake, I jump an octave above the key. Some people sit there and stare. Some people sleep a few slip away. So I emote in air. Though I've got nothing to say. I overact just a touch, the score getting burned. My vocal tricks are my crutch, by now I've learned, as you've discerned. Overacting is the way to an end. Now I'm just an underage has-been, and I'm tipping over fast. I'm bordering neurotic. I try to be so precious and endearing, and I throw a grace note in to keep you cheering. I keep wiggling too fast. Depending on my cuteness, I'm as precious as can be. Is everyone in love with me? Love with me. Love with me. Tipping over fast. I'm borderline psychotic. I haven't worked, not since I left the cast. I'm Evan has-been, a has-been, a has-been, and my future is past.
We had a really great run with The Next Generation. We started at the Triad and then did several shows over the holidays at the Kravitz Center in West Palm Beach, and then we reopened at the renowned York Theater off-Broadway. The York is one of New York City's iconic off-Broadway theaters, and they were so good to us. Recently, they had some major flooding, and they're in the process of rebuilding. So, I'd love to dedicate today's episode to them. If you can all donate anything at all to the York, please do so. Let's try to make sure that they're ready to go as soon as off-Broadway reopens. To donate, please go to www.yorktheater.org or the direct link to make a donation, which is in the description of this video and included in all of my social media. We got to spend a lot of time at the York during our run with Forbidden Broadway. I had a lot of fun memories with both Gerard and his husband, Glenn. Let's welcome my friends, the amazingly talented Gerard Alessandrini and Glenn Bassett.
Hi, Glenn and Gerard.
Hi, Joshua.
Hey, Joshua.
So good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're just fine. We're safe and happy. A little bored, but we're doing good. We're doing very good. And are you doing well in New York? How's New York?
I'm doing okay. You know, just like myself busy.
I miss New York. It's been a year now, right? Almost a year since I've seen you. And it was since we were doing Forbidden Broadway at the York.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I miss doing Forbidden Broadway. And it's been almost a year since we were last together recording the cast album of Forbidden Broadway, The Next Generation, and getting ready for the run at the York Theater. You created all of Forbidden Broadway, and basically—
That's right.
It all came from your incredible mind. How did Forbidden Broadway come to be?
Well, I started it in 1981. And I was writing parody lyrics of songs on Broadway, kind of like a critique, you know, and the shows at that time were Evita and the Pirates of Penzance and a revival of Camelot. I mean, a very different era. And later that year, Cats arrived on Broadway. That goes to show you how long ago it was. And I thought they would be good parody lyrics to do as a show for myself and Norma Ling and Bill Carmichael and Fred Barton and Chloe Webb. So we just, you know, a bunch of kids getting together doing a show. At first we did at Paulson's Supper Club. Paulson's Supper Club is now the Triad, which is where you did, we started Forbidden Broadway, The Next Generation. So we came full circle. But it quickly caught on, and it was quite a phenomenon in New York in the early 80s. And I thought, you know, I can update this every year as the Broadway shows change. I can renew the show, and that's what I did. So for year after year, I would change the content to match what was on Broadway.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I was a fan of Forbidden Broadway long before I ever started working professionally, back when I was like 8, I think. And it was such a dream come true to be a part of it and work with you and Glenn.
Well, if you were a wonderful actor and performer, and you understood the humor of it, which is great. We had done a reading before of another show I wrote, right? You had a part and you paid played Perry Mason the Fourth, right?
Yep.
And we knew we got along, and I knew it would work out well.
And as the first stage manager of Forbidden Broadway, The Next Generation, for the rehearsal period, I can attest that you were great both on stage and off stage.
You're a great really professional, easy to work Joshua. Yeah. Wonderful professional. Real man of the theater already.
Thank you. And I remember, and I've heard so many stories of all the legends you came to see Forbidden Broadway.
Oh, all the Broadway stars came, almost all of them. I mean, except maybe Madonna and Barbara Streisand. But although Barbara Streisand hired me to do some parody writing for her a couple of years ago. So we just met all of those stars, and it was so wonderful and gracious. I think because as nasty as Forbidden Broadway could get, it was never really as nasty as the critics were to some of these actors. So their skin was toughened up, and they would enjoy seeing young performers make fun of them or impersonate them.
It's sort of a compliment in a strange sort of way.
Yeah, it's a backhanded compliment. Backhanded. Well, you know, the stars that we did originally were Ethel Merman, Mary Martin. They came to see Forbidden Broadway. So other stars were, if Merman can take it, I can take it. And then all through the years, we had Audra McDonald, Patti LuPone, Bernadette Peters, Brian Stokes Mitchell, everybody.
Definitely Carol Channing, yes.
Definitely Carol Channing. When she first came to the show, she came one night with George Burns and Mary Martin.
Wow.
And she asked me, why, how come I'm not in the show? She wasn't in the show. There wasn't a Carol Channing routine at that time. So I wrote one and put it in. And then we did that for like 25 years. And, you know, besides people like Carol Channing and those great legends from another era, I mean, all the new stars were coming to see their themselves parodied. And also the writers and creative people, starting with Harold Prince and Stephen Sondheim and Cy Coleman and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Andrew Lloyd Webber came one night when you were in the show, right? He came to see just last year, right?
That was like a few nights before we actually cut one of the songs from an Andrew Lloyd Webber show. It was the School of Rock number.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So was it still in the show when you did it?
I remember I sang it for Angela.
That's great. Yeah, that's good. He's got, you know, he's got a, people think he does, but he has a great sense of humor. He's a wonderful man on the theater himself.
Yeah.
He's sort of Andrew Lloyd Webber. He's as a matter of fact, one of the times we did the show in London, he put money into it, you know, the first time we did it. So he gave us a little money, not a lot of money, but some money to do it. And he's a great guy. And then David Zippel brought him. David Zippel is a great writer himself, and he's one of the producers of Forbidden Broadway, The Next Generation. So he works with Andrew Lloyd Webber, so he brought him to see it. And I loved when the writers and creative people would come, all the directors.
Sondheim came, all of them, which was awesome.
Yeah, and then eventually right up to Lin-Manuel, which we'll talk about later. And it's been great just meeting those people and watching them laugh and enjoy the show.
Now, I know that right before you did Forbidden Broadway, The Next Generation, Spamilton was a huge hit. Now, Spamilton is a parody of Hamilton. How did Spamilton come about?
Well, you know, I'd been doing Forbidden Broadway almost all my life in New York. I arrived in New York around 1979, 1980, and I was spoofing shows from then until, now, 2020. And when Spamilton...
21 now, actually.
Yeah, 21. Right. Well, no, I've only up till 20 because we haven't done it last year. So anyway, but in 2015, you know, when Hamilton came around, I thought, oh, this is the biggest hit show to arrive in New York since I've been in New York. So I've spent all this time spoofing other shows. I need to spoof Hamilton, and I'm the guy that has to do it. But the difference is this time I thought, oh, instead of putting a number in Forbidden Broadway spoofing Hamilton, I'm going to spoof the whole show. So we spoofed the whole show of Hamilton, and I called it Spamilton, given not a tremendously original or clever name, but it gets the point across about what kind of theater it is. You know, we mentioned Spam-a-lot, and of course, at that time in 2015, there was so much news and coverage about Hamilton that it was a mountain of spam on my, every time I opened my internet. Sometimes I'd be watching something else on my internet and these Hamilton articles would pop up. It was just amazing. So it was fun to spoof Hamilton because it takes itself seriously. It's American history. And it's always fun to spoof something that takes itself seriously. It's a fantastic, wonderful show. That helps. If the show's good, it's easier to spoof. That's why the Sondheim shows were always easy to spoof, because they were good. And I would enjoy investigating how to turn the song inside out. The hard thing about Spamilton was it had rap songs, and I was used to spoofing, you know, Sondheim and Cole Porter and Roger Hammerstein. So it was a little different for me. I sort of had to learn how to write a rap song.
Wasn't it a really young rapper? Like, you saw a YouTube video?
Oh, my friend Alex, right? Uh-huh. Alex Harper's, who's young, right? I said, gee, Alex, how am I supposed to learn how to write rap? And he said, well, you should start at the beginning. I'll send you a link. And he sent me this link of this 4 or 5 year old guy, not unlike yourself, teaching people how to make a rap song. And you know, it actually helped, because you need, sometimes people have to give you the ABCs of something, how to do something, the bare bones. And that helped, and it got me on the way. And I said, oh, I understand. And then of course, from then on, I used Lin-Manuel's framework. But the hard thing about rap is it has a lot more rhymes than, you know, it can have 9 rhymes in a section. So you have to be a good rhymester. And I had my rhyming dictionary next to me, and I went at it. I have to say, a lot of the rhymes are near rhymes, so I'm not used to doing that. So I turned some of the near rhymes into real rhymes. But I wrote it. We did it with a tremendously talented young cast. They were very enthusiastic. They were young. They were around 20. A lot of them were just out of college. They had so much energy and beautiful
voice.
Like
the original Forbidden Broadway.
Like the original Forbidden Broadway, you know. So that helped. And then Lin-Manuel came to see the show with Tommy Kail and Alex Lacamoire. And they seemed to love it. I was sitting in the back, but I could see their heads bobbing up and down with laughter.
And they stayed after to Lynn take was pictures very with everyone gracious and talked. They were really, really talked to super the cast. Nice. All 3 of them were amazing.
Yes. Yeah. And they talked to the cast, and the cast was so thrilled. And then they gave the cast tickets to see Hamilton, because none of them could afford to see Hamilton. They gave them tickets, and you picked them up, right?
Yeah.
They arranged tickets.
So I was the stage manager for that as well in the beginning, and went to pick up the tickets and was carrying, like, you know, over $10,000 worth of tickets in my hand in the city. I was like, oh, wow.
Isn't that generous?
Like gold right now.
And then Lin-Manuel came back and brought his family, some of his family. So that was nice, his wife and in-laws. So, so that was some kind of badge of approval. He also tweeted, I laugh my brains out. So that's a quote we were able to use. But we did, you know, we did a nice long run of it in New York. And we moved to the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater. And then we toured the country with it. We went to Chicago, Los Angeles. I took Spamilton to London. So I've actually been very busy with Spamilton the last few years, more than Forbidden Broadway. So that's why I thought it would be fun to go back and do a new edition of Forbidden Broadway last year, which is the one you were in, Forbidden Broadway, The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, Spamilton, although I wasn't able to see it in person, I saw some videos and it was absolutely amazing.
Thank you. You know, Jerry McIntyre, the choreographer and director, staged it. He did an amazing job of spoofing Hamilton, and it looked great. We also had him do your production of Forbidden Broadway, Forbidden Broadway, The Next Generation. And he's just a brilliant guy, and also a great guy.
Which made his production, The Next Generation, very different than Broadway's previous.
Yeah, it was a little different in staging, and better, I think. And it had a little bit of a through line. You were part of the through line. You were the young man coming to New York, seeing all the theater pieces and wanting to be in the theater. And so that gave it a little bit of gravitas.
And no handheld mics for the first time.
No handheld mics, no. We mic'd everybody through the costumes, no matter what. It's always a problem. It's hard to do. But we did that so we could let Jerry go crazy with his choreography, which is great. I've worked with Jerry for we did a Forbidden Vegas. And then before that, he was in Forbidden Broadway. And then we did a Forbidden Hollywood together in the 90s. When we did it in Hollywood, we did it actually in Los Angeles, California, in Hollywood. It was great. Alvin Coate was Colt, our costume designer, who had done Broadway shows, did the costumes. The design was tremendous. The actors were great. It was Jerry, it was Jason Graw, Christine Petty, Suzanne Blakeslee. Unfortunately, when we brought her to New York, we didn't have that cast, but we still played a good summer. And then I got back to Forbidden Broadway. But I love working with Jerry. He's a great guy. Very funny on stage and off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's absolutely amazing.
And then I love working with this guy. This guy is so multi-talented. It's almost a problem for him. He's got so many talents. He sings. He sings really well. He acts. He's handsome. He's a great writer. He's writing a book.
I think I don't know.
Errol Flynn and Tyron Power, they did okay on that list.
Well, yeah, right? I guess if you're that handsome, sure.
So yeah, especially if you're in theater. But he also writes. He's writing a book right now. He also designs. He's a great designer. He's done stage work. He's done film work. So he's
and actually, right before the pandemic, like, hit really bad in March, I had designed a set for a production of Forbidden Broadway here in Connecticut that Gerard had directed. And so the set's still up and the actors were like in dress rehearsal, ready to go.
It was dress rehearsal night and they closed us down. So the set is still standing, this beautiful set that he designed, very different from the sets we've used in New York. And it's still standing right down the street waiting for theater to come back. When do you think it's going to come back, Josh?
No, I don't know. Hopefully by the fall, but most likely, because things aren't really getting that much better. But because of the vaccine, hopefully things will get back up sooner than later.
Yes, I hope. Yeah. And then, you know, I think Off-Broadway is going to come back first. So get ready. unfortunately, New York, the theater that we had a wonderful run of Forbidden Broadway at, it got flooded last week.
No, yeah, I was just so sad. And to learn about the really bad water damage and the flooding at the York Theater, where we did one of the runs of Forbidden Broadway. And it's just such an iconic theater. What does that theater mean to you and our theater community?
Well, it's very important because it's one of the major off-Broadway theaters. It has a following, a subscription audience. It's on the East Side. It's on a very nice part of the East Side. I love it over there. There isn't much theater over there. And, they can do, since their funding is set up, they can do revivals of rare Broadway shows that nobody's seen in 40 years. They can do new shows. They can do concerts, cabaret acts. It's run by Jim Morgan, who I love. He's a great guy, very talented. And Evans Hale is tremendous. He's a great talent himself. And a great pianist. And, the whole staff there is just wonderful. I really enjoyed working there. I hadn't worked there much before we did Forbidden Broadway. I did, most notably, I directed a review of Maury Esten's music, Anything Can Happen in the Theater. I worked with Maury Esten on
great.
That. It was great. So I mean, Maury Esten's so songs beautiful. Are so ingenious and beautiful and melodic, but yet intelligent. And it was so great to put a set of songs of his together. We had a very talented cast. So we were doing that run of Anything Can Happen in the Theater. I was directing it, had created and directed it. And Jim and Evans asked if I could bring Forbidden Broadway over there, which we were already doing at the Triad. But it was already made. You know, we all rehearsed. It was sharp. The original cast was still all together. We had already gotten excellent reviews, so it was a nice package for them to bring in. And then coronavirus came, and that's a good place to stop, I guess, right? leave them wanting more.
It looked great there too.
It
looked great at the Triad, but it just opened up and looked so wonderful.
Well, Jim Morgan, who directs it, he designs the sets, you know,
and
he does a wonderful job. And of course, the lighting was great.
Yeah.
And it just looked awesome. It looked great. And it was nice to have a little space between the actors and the audience because the theater is a stadium seating. So you're looking down at it. So the floor, of course, is very important, you know, but Jim took care of that. He had a beautiful floor. And so it was a really nice place to do Forbidden Broadway. I hope when this is all over, we'll get to do another one there again.
Today's episode is really dedicated to getting the York fixed up and ready to open as soon as it's safe again with the pandemic. I'll be donating myself and we'll share a link for anyone who's able to help. How about we sing some fun Forbidden Broadway songs to help support the York Theater?
Oh, yes, let's support the York Theater. Please donate if you can and get it going again. It's a very important theater, not only in New York, but for the whole country. But yeah, let's talk about Forbidden Broadway. Now, I've been doing it for, nearly 40 years. And we did it all through the 80s when there were shows to spoof like Cats and Evita. And then along came Les Miserables in 1987 and 88. And that really put Forbidden Broadway on another level because it was the perfect show to spoof. It was serious. It was about the French Revolution, not the big French Revolution, the little later French Revolution. And of course, a revolution where everybody was dressed beautifully in Parisian clothes. So it was like perfect for satire. It was serious. It took itself seriously.
Right? Yeah.
It was great, great songs.
And you spoofed so many numbers that there's like a whole version really right. you could put together.
So it became so popular in Forbidden Broadway. It's so funny that year after year, I would add numbers, a different spoof from a different song in Les Mis, like Master of the House or I Dreamed a Dream. And I must have collected about an hour worth of Les Miserables spoofs over the years. We've talked about this, Christine Petty has suggested it too, that we put all the Les Mis numbers together someday and have a spoof just of Les Miserables, like we have a spoof of Hamilton. So that may happen when we get back to work. I didn't get to it because Hamilton came along and that kept me busy. And then the new Broadway shows like Moulin Rouge, which you spoofed, and Dear Evan Hansen. So, you know, we had a lot of work to do, if you can call it work. So, but someday more Les Mis, and we'll have to have Les Mis come back, but I'm sure it will. It's a great show.
Oh, yeah. It gets revived like every couple of years.
Oh yeah, it'll last for decades or hundreds of years. It's like a great opera or Shakespeare.
It's my favorite show. If I had to pick one, it's way up there. It's like in my top three for sure.
Oh yeah, it's great. Well, the music is beautiful. Yeah. The song, the story is great. How do you beat the story? It's one of the all-time great stories, and they've done it well.
It's woven together so well too.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, but in our spoof of Les Miserables, or my spoof of Les Miserables, for years we spoofed Bring Him Home, which is Jean Valjean's big number in the middle of Act Two. And, it's hard to sing if you actually are playing Jean Valjean. So I've talked about that subject. And we did a short spoof in 1988. I think we always did this spoof, even though other spoofs of Les Mis would change. So, and now, even though I never performed in the show, I look like Jean Valjean. I have white hair now. So I'm going to attempt to sing our parody of Bring Him Home. And you'll see, now my voice isn't up to par. It used to be great in 1980. I had a great baritone voice when I spoofed Kevin Kline and people like that.
Well, your voice still sounds absolutely amazing.
But anyways, here's my attempt to do the Les Miserables spoof that we did for many, many years and probably will do going forward again.
It's a classic.
Thank you.
Glenn, I hear that you're going to be singing a song from Spamilton, right?
That's right. Yes. It's spoofing You'll Be Back, the King George III's number in Act One. I won't give away the title because it's kind of fun. It's a fun twist on it. Especially at the time, if you kind of think of all the shows and sort of what Hamilton did to that time period when the previous shows that had come before it. And I don't know, you'll get the idea when you hear it, but it's a lot of fun.
So here where we're sort of laying low in a different state, I have this man to entertain me all the time we do all sorts of songs, and I do a few for him, and mm-hmm. we dance to the Dream Ballet from Oklahoma once in a while when we're bored. So there's plenty of there's plenty of music.
Maybe in our dreams, maybe.
when you're not looking, I'm dancing. Oh, okay. I dance the part of James Mitchell really well.
Oh, good.
You know, James Mitchell was the great dancer, who was a big fan of Forbidden Broadway. James Mitchell was this wonderful actor that was also a great dancer, and he was an Agnes DeMille dancer. He was in Brigadoon, and he's in the movie of Oklahoma playing Dream Curly. And then later, he became, his acting career continued, and he was in All My Children for years. Mm-hmm. And I love him. He's great. And he used to come to Forbidden Broadway all the time and laugh and laugh. So I don't know why I got off on that tangent. Just another star who used to love Forbidden Broadway besides Cheetah Rivera and Patti LuPone and Bernadette Peters. But anyway, but he's going to do something from Spamilton, my other show.
Because I played the King for a lot of the run in New York, and I played it in L.A., and it was so much fun.
Yeah, and of course, it's very spoofable, so you'll get to see him do that.
I'm just really excited to have you both sing with me today on the Early Night Show. Here we go.
God, it's high, this song's too high, pity me, change the key, bring it down, bring it down, it's too high.
That was incredible, Gerard. Not only is he an amazing, talented, kind, and considerate person, he's the recipient of a Drama League Lifetime Achievement Award and a special Tony Award for Lifetime Achievement in Theater. Just amazing. Next up is the equally incredible Glenn Bassett.
You say a dandy like me shouldn't be in this populist play. You cry, who am I? And while you're wondering why I sashay going by, why so sad? Remember how musical theatre was cloyingly gay till the public got mad. Now Hamilton's new rearrangement has changed the fad. Straight is back, soon you'll see. Campy musicals went out with glee. Straight is back, time will tell. Kinky Boots is going straight to hell. New shows come, gay shows close. Guess we've had enough of mamaras. Now the push is to straight. Like an evil floppy Disney villain, I'm designed for you to hate. Dada, don't go away, cause this little Beatles tune is immune from being gay. Just like Penny Lane, it will eat away your brain like cocaine. They say with so much glitter, theatre can't go on. But Broadway will be bitter when glitz is gone. Once drag queens were the subject, now history is the subject, the rigid, frigid subject of a metro hetero subject. And now I'm hated, berated, relegated, and I sound castrated. Straight is back, it's a cinch. Hedwig put away his angry inch. Hairspray ran out of breath. and La Cage has been revived to death. Van Hoom's gone, Cax lives on, and I'm not discussing Miss Saigon, but when push comes to shove, I can only play a killer, not the leading man you love. If you want your play to play to only standing room, then you'd better not play gay. Gay, 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 gay. Gay, 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 everybody. Gay, 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 gay. Gay, 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 gay.
So amazing, Glenn. If you can support the York in any way, please go to their website, www.yorktheatre.org, or check out the link in the description or in my social media. Also, if you're a student whose show is canceled, please send us a link to a video of you singing to Early Night Show Casting at gmail.com and make it a chance to go on the show. Again, if you're enjoying these virtual cabarets, please consider making a donation to the York Theatre at www.yorktheatre.org. Any bit helps. You can also find the Early Night Show on the Broadway Podcast Network, wherever podcasts are found, and videos for episodes online on theearlynightshow.com. Thanks again to my guests, Gerard Alessandrini and Glenn Bassett. And let's keep entertaining! Any artists who want to be virtual guests, send me a direct message on my Instagram, at Joshua Turchin, and let's keep making music to help the world. Stay healthy and wear a mask!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.